Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. The wise men followed a star that brought them to Jerusalem. And did you notice in the reading from Matthew's gospel that they referred to it as his star? We have seen his star in the east. Its appearance in the sky at that time prompted the wise men to leave their homeland and to follow that star until it arrived over the land of Israel. They left their homeland convinced that the long-awaited king, the Messiah, had been born. Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? That star was to them the evidence that the Messiah was born. They had been waiting for this. They had been watching for this. The Old Testament scriptures in the book of Numbers, chapter 24, spoke of the star of Jacob that would arise. And those men had been watching, waiting, looking for this star. And when they saw that star, they were convinced this is his star. The king is born. The Messiah has come. But while they followed a star that shone in the sky above, there was another star that had shone for hundreds of years previously. It had been shining long before that star appeared in the eastern sky. That star lit up the skyline of Old Testament saints, illuminating the path to where the Messiah was born. And when Herod demanded an answer from the scribes where Christ should be born, they pulled that star from that Old Testament skyline. They opened up the prophecy of Micah, and they found that star in verse number 2. Bethlehem, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Where is Christ born? Where will Messiah be born? And immediately they knew exactly the answer to that question. Bethlehem. And they quote from this prophecy, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." And so Herod directs the wise men to Bethlehem. Messiah, Christos, the Christ, the King, is born in Bethlehem. It was but one of many prophetic stars that lit up the skyline of the Old Testament saints, from the seed of the woman promised in Eden's garden to the Son of Righteousness foretold by Malachi. There lay in between a cluster of prophecies regarding the birth of Messiah. He would be from the seed of Abraham, Genesis 22 and verse 18. He would come from the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49 and verse 10. He would arise from the house of David, Isaiah 11 and verse 1. He would be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7 and 14. He would be born at a time when the scepter would depart from Judah, when Judah would lose its princely, kingly position, Genesis 49 and verse 10. But now here in Micah 5 and verse 2, the very location, the exact place where the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, from the tribe of David, the tribe of Judah, from the house of David, born of a virgin, here is where he will be born. The Old Testament saints were left in no doubt. Each prophecy identified a particular characteristic of the one that was promised. And there is no difference here in this passage in Micah chapter 5. Micah's prophecy directs us not only to the place where the Messiah would be born, but it also indicates the fact of his goings forth. Did you notice that in verse number 2? Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. The emphasis, the focus is upon the person, not so much the place, but the person. And our attention is directed to this wonderful truth concerning the one who would be born in Bethlehem. His goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And notice there that the goings forth of Messiah is in the plural. It doesn't say there in the passage whose going forth has been from of old. No, the word is in the plural, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And it highlights that this one who was born has gone forth many, many times. This is his characteristic. This is the trait of Messiah. But in this particular passage, the spotlight here is upon the going forth of Christ in his incarnation. You can see here the place of his birth. Thou, Bethlehem, out of thee, or from thee, shall he come forth. He shall go forth from Bethlehem. When he steps out from eternity into time, when he takes human form, the place where that will be manifested is Bethlehem. I wonder, have you ever stopped to wonder why God chose Bethlehem as the place where his son would be born into this world? There were many places, and the text emphasizes that. The thousands of Judah, thousands of villages, thousands of dwelling places, thousands of towns and cities across the land of Israel, across the world. But why? Why did God choose Bethlehem? Why was this the place that was signaled and chosen? Well, remember that Bethlehem has an important and significant history in the nation of Israel. It was the place where David the shepherd lad was anointed to be the king. You remember when Saul rebelled against the Lord and God rejected Saul from being king? The Lord sent Samuel to the house of Jesse in Bethlehem. And he had the task of anointing one from the sons of Jesse who would become the king, the Lord's anointed, the king of Israel. And you remember that David was despised. He was the shepherd lad, and when Samuel came and asked Jesse to gather all his sons, Jesse didn't even think fit to call David. He left him out in the fields. And one by one, Samuel looks at the sons of Jesse and he thinks to himself, surely this is the Lord's anointed. And each time the Lord said, not so. He comes to the end of the line and there are no more sons in that line. And Samuel asks, are here all thy sons? Ah, suddenly they remembered the youngest. He was still out in the fields looking after the sheep. Jesse didn't even think to call David to the feast. But when David eventually comes, the Lord speaks to Samuel and he says, arise, anoint him, for this is he. This is the anointed of God. This little lad, the shepherd lad, a teenager with ruddy countenance, will become the king of Israel. The one who will destroy the enemy, slay Goliath, and will lead the people of God into great prosperity. What a picture. What a picture. And what took place in Bethlehem was only a microcosm. It was a prophecy. It was a type illustrating the very place where the Messiah would be born. The one who is despised in the eyes of men. And yet God has chosen him to be the king over all creation. What a prophecy. But remember that Bethlehem was also the place where Rachel had died in childbirth many, many years previous. When she died giving birth, her son that was born, she named him Benoni, which in the Hebrew language means son of my sorrow. She was in great sorrow, great agony, and so great was that agony that it would claim her life. But her husband takes that son in his arms and he says, he shall not be Benoni. His name shall be Benjamin, which in the Hebrew language means son of my right hand. Son of my right hand. And Jacob gives his son this name. Son of my right hand. What a picture. What a picture that the one who would be born in Bethlehem on a future day. Yes, he would be the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, but he will be acknowledged as the one who sits at the right hand of the Majesty on High. The one who is exalted over all things. Benjamin. The son of my right hand, the one whom God will exalt to his right hand. But remember that Bethlehem was also the place where the outcast was brought in. And we have that, the unfolding of that beautiful story of Ruth. You remember Ruth, the Moabitess woman who married the son of Naomi and Elimelech. And you remember how death struck the family, the father and then the two boys, and Naomi returns as a widow. She instructs her daughters-in-law to stay in the land of their birth, but Ruth cleaves to her, and she says, I will go with thee. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy God shall be my God. Thy people shall be my people. And they return to Bethlehem. And it was there at Bethlehem, the kinsman redeemer, in the person of Boaz, paid the ransom price and he took Ruth to be his wife. A beautiful picture of how the outcast was brought in, restored, reconciled and highly favored. And it is again a wonderful prophecy concerning the one who would be born in Bethlehem of Abraham's seed of the tribe of Judah from the house of David, born of a virgin, the one who would be the man of sorrows and yet would be the son of the Father's right hand. His great task will be to gather in the outcast, those who on account of their sin had been separated and placed under the curse. And yet, because of his great work of redemption, paying the ransom price, he will gather in the outcast. That's why Bethlehem was chosen. These historical events in the history of Bethlehem were all pointing forward, signposts pointing to the Messiah. Yes, the place of his birth is emphasized. But you'll notice here in this text, not only the place of his birth, but his pre-existence before his birth. Because the one who will come out of Bethlehem, the one who will be born in Bethlehem, did not begin to exist in the womb of his virgin mother. His goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Oh, what a statement. Come with me today to that stable in Bethlehem, the scene of the manger. And that night Mary brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. But this was not the beginning of his existence. He had gone forth many, many times before. His goings forth from of old, long before eternity. Come with me to that Babylonian palace and the great furnace that has been lit, and three Hebrew sons cast into that furnace because they honored God above man and they would not bow to a Babylonian idol. And they are cast into the furnace, and the mighty king Nebuchadnezzar says, did not we cast three men into the fire? How is it I see four? And the fourth is the form of the Son of God. Ah, this one who was born in Bethlehem had gone forth before. And he stood with those children, those young men in the fiery furnace. He gone forth also when Isaiah entered into the temple. And he saw the Lord high and lifted up, his train filling the temple, the glory of God emanating through that building. It was this one born in Bethlehem who had gone forth. And when Joshua stood on the verge of entering into the promised land, about to encounter all the enemies that were against Israel, there met one on the eve of that crossing who was the captain of the Lord's host. And Joshua unloosed the latchet of his shoes and fell before him. Who was he? He was this one born in Bethlehem. He had gone forth to meet Joshua. And you can remember that time when Moses, in the backside of the wilderness, came to the bush and he saw such a strange sight. The bush on fire, and yet it was not consumed. And the voice of the angel of the Lord, the messenger of the Lord. This is the one who is referred to here, whose goings forth have been from of old. He met Jacob and he met Abraham in the plains of Mamre. He has gone forth many times before. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten of the Father. He hath declared him, he has made him known. And every appearance of God in the Old Testament was an appearance of Christ. A Christophany. Ah, but this text stretches back beyond time itself. Yes, he went forth of old time, but his goings forth have gone from before time itself, from everlasting. He existed before time, before the beginning of time, before creation, for he is the creator, the active agent in all of creation. He has gone forth from eternity. Always remember that this child who was born in Bethlehem has existed from all eternity. The eternal Son of God. His goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. But notice the purpose of his birth. For God speaks in this text, not only highlighting the place where Messiah will be born, not only highlighting his pre-existence to his birth, but he also identifies the purpose for his birth. Out of thee shall he come forth unto me. Unto me. The angels delivered the message to the shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Unto you. But you'll notice that God speaks in this text and he says, unto me, unto me. And that indicates to us the reason why the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem. There was a Godward reason first, before the manward reason. He came forth out of Bethlehem with the purpose of going on to his Father. And the path to the Father was via the cross. He was born to die. He took human form into union with his eternal person in order to make atonement unto God for our sins. And having made that atonement by the sacrifice of himself, he proceeded to the Father. Do you remember when Mary met him first in the garden after his resurrection? He said, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. And he would enter into the presence of his Father, to the throne room of heaven, as the representative and advocate of his people, bringing his own precious blood in order to satisfy divine justice and thereby enable God to be reconciled to sinful man. Always remember that while there is a twofold side to the atonement, the first and primary purpose of atonement was Godward. Out of thee, Bethlehem, shall he come forth unto me. For the Father sent the Son in order to be the propitiation for our sins, to appease God, and thereby enable God to receive man in reconciliation, in restoration. This was the purpose of his coming. But you will notice here in this text, finally, the great prerogative of his coming. He shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Have you ever noticed what the wise men said when they came at first into the land of Israel? They came saying, where is he that is born king? Have you ever stopped to think about that? The Lord Jesus is the only person who has ever been born king. There are many kings in the world, but they are not born as kings. They are born as princes in the royal line. And the time comes when death enters that royal household, and the king or queen dies, and the crown is taken from their head, and their heir is pronounced king, and the crown is placed upon their head. They are not born king. But these wise men had a grasp of theology and eschatology. And in their statement, in their question, they recognized that teaching of Scripture which yet they had never set eyes upon. Out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. They recognized that he was already the king. He was born king. And not only was he born king, but he died as king. For they placed the superscription upon above his head, King of the Jews. King of the Jews. This is the prerogative of the one who was born in Bethlehem. And what a ruler he is, what a governor he is, what a king he is. And when they came into the house where the young child was, they fell down and they worshipped him. They worshipped him. We don't know when the Lord Jesus was actually born. We don't hold to dates that are not prescribed in the Scripture or set forth in Scripture. But we do believe in worshipping the King who was born. This is his day. This is the Lord's day. Let us therefore follow the example of these wise men. Let us recognize the one who was born, the place of his birth, the pre-existence before his birth, the purpose of his birth. And let's recognize the prerogative of his birth. He is the King. We'll look at this a little more fully tonight. The one who was born King of the Jews. And we will look at his kingly power, his kingly person, his kingly prerogative. We'll look at his kingly position a little bit more fully. Let's turn in closing in our hymn book to number 88, and we'll stand together as we sing. Number 88.